How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are back on the daily grind. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Jay King. Two practices in the books, and all of a sudden, Jay Crowder is the best shooter on the team. Jaylen Brown is the most versatile four on the team. James Young is confident and ready to make waves. And Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas have great stories about weird things that have happened to them, one with Kevin Garnett, one with David Ortiz. That's the rundown. That's what you're going to hear today. If you are a subscriber, thank you. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to the show, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. If you're not a subscriber, if you found your way to the show for the first time, welcome. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe. Search Locked On Celtics and subscribe. Now, Jay King, how do you feel? Two days in the books, man. You've seen these guys go up and down the floor a little bit.
I mean, that would be a little, stating it a little generously. I saw probably a minute and a half of two-on-one drills, and I've seen a lot of stretching. I saw some foot fires today, and Brian Dew, the strength coach, put everyone to shame. Although Demetrius Jackson was a stud in foot fires, or foot ladder drills, rather. So, yeah, I don't see much. I go on what they tell me. And it's funny because everyone's so optimistic, man, and everyone is so aggressive these days. Everyone is a great shooter. Everyone is learning quickly. Training camp is always a time for optimism. It is a time when Jared Sullinger is thin and everyone can play basketball.
Yes, the annual Jared Sullinger looks good. I hope they're enjoying that in Toronto. I'm sure that was mentioned a few times. I got to search their Twitter for that.
It really was. Like, people are commenting about how good he looks and how great shape he's in. Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a little bit of the case, because this is his chance to kind of – this is kind of like he's the reclamation project already. But that's a different topic for another time. Today we're talking about Jay Crowder and his shooting. He's come out and people are just talking about Jay Crowder – shooting the lights out. Al Horford specifically took time out to mention that Horford's shooting looks improved. Of course, the last time he saw Crowder shooting was the playoffs, when Crowder was playing on one leg and he couldn't shoot at all. But
yeah, that's a tough baseline to have. Like, to Horford, Crowder's the guy that everyone needed to sag off and help off. And meanwhile, Crowder was a pretty good shooter last year for most of the year.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to shoot when you're playing off of that high ankle sprain, but whatever. Enough with the excuses. Right now, Jay looks good. He says he's comfortable shooting off of the dribble. Coach Steven says Jay's working really hard on his shot. He's very consistent in his work, very deliberate in his practice. So blah, blah, blah. Jay Crowder looks good. Great. That's what we need. We need Jay Crowder to take a step forward, because this is the type of internal development that we've been talking about on this show that we need. We need guys like Avery and Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk and Marcus Smart, to name a few, to take steps forward in their progression.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. With Crowder, it's tough to see him developing into a really great offensive player. Like, he's really solid. He does a lot of things well. He takes smart shots. He gets to the rim. He started to draw free throws last year. I don't think he has enough like fluidity and ball handling to become a real scorer in the league, but he can definitely raise it from where he was last year. I think the off-the-dribble game is interesting to me, because obviously the Celtics need secondary creators. They have Isaiah Thomas and a lot of guys who aren't really best as primary playmakers, or at least in the case of Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, haven't proved themselves as primary playmakers. So they're going to have to do it with secondary guys like Crowder, who you know, last year he was great at sweeping through and beating guys to the hoop off the sweep through. He shot spot ups reasonably well, or almost around league average. If he can tick that shooting up, and if he can add a little more dynamic play to his off the dribble game, that's a big deal for their offense. And obviously, their defense is going to be great. I have complete faith that the Celtics defense will be top five. If it's not, it's going to be a disappointment. It's the offense where they have the most room for improvement. And it's guys like Crowder, guys like Avery Bradley, guys like Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier down the line that will have to help that, in addition to having, obviously, Al Horford, who will help a lot of things.
Yeah. Now, think about what Jay Crowder would mean to this team if instead of shooting just under 34%, he shot about 37%. That 3% increase.
And that's not crazy because
no.
Last year, I mean, until the last couple months of the season when he dealt with a couple of ankle injuries, he was up near – he was at over 37 for December and January, and at around 35 for February. So that's if he can do that for a full season, you'll take that 100% of the time, and it'll make him even more effective. And obviously, he's going to be effective regardless. But if he can become just a little better, that's all it takes, really, in the NBA. A few percentage points are a huge difference over the course of a full season.
Yeah, that just means one or two of those threes are falling every couple of games that weren't falling before. That makes teams pay. And if that starts to happen early, then they have to play him tighter, which just means when we talk about that floor spacing all the time, that just adds that one extra element. And we know in this league that half step, when you have to play Crowder a half step closer, that not only makes him more dangerous to play off of the dribble, that gives Isaiah Thomas that half step more to get into the lane. It gives Al Horford that half step more to decide how he wants to play that pick and roll, pick and pop. So that's a huge thing. That internal development of Jay Crowder alone would be a massive step forward. So I guess we have to see if with our own eyes when the Celtics start playing games, if that shooting is actually improved.
It's funny because that whole thing, the conversation started when Horford was like, oh yeah, like Jay Crowder came with us and played pickup one day and he looked like he had really improved his shooting. Like literally he said, I believe, one day. So one day of good shooting, and now it's a storyline in training camp. I love training camp, man. It's fantastic.
I love it. You know, it'd be fun when Jay Crowder hits those threes. If you're sitting in the front row, that's just more opportunities to give him five as he does that little three-point celebration. That'd be pretty cool. And you know how you do that? You buy tickets through SeatGeek to get those premium seats. Or if you want to sit upstairs, sit in the loge, sit in the balcony, you get your choice because SeatGeek has made everything very easy, easier than those old ticket sites. It's this app or online. You just go in and you can see the garden and you can pick out, you'll see little green and yellow and red dots to tell you where the good deals are. You can just call it up like I did. I'm actually going to a Red Sox game. I'm going to see Poppy one last time. And I went through the SeatGeek app, made it real, real easy. They do the price comparison for you. They search multiple ticket sites. They get you the best possible deal, the most bang for your buck. And the best part is you get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase by downloading the app, going to the settings tab, clicking adding a promo code, enter LO Celtics. Buy your tickets. It doesn't have to be to a Celtics game. Could be to any other game. Could be to a show. Could be to a concert. Whatever. Enter the promo code LO Celtics. You'll get $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase. No need to download anything else. No need to print things out. You just show people your phone. And that's it. So go download the SeatGeek app today. Enter the promo code LO Celtics. Get your $20 back. High five or low five Jay Crowder as he's hitting the three on the way back up. Beautiful. It's a big win for everybody all around.
That was a money ad read right there, man. You're becoming a pro at those.
Look, man, this is we gotta make that money, son. We gotta get out there.
plug.
Hey, look.
If anybody wants to advertise with us, what's our Gmail address, John? I forget what it is. Hey,
it's lockedoncelticsatgmail.com.
There you go. Email lockedoncelticsatgmail.com. You can buy an ad from us, And if you're a Boston area restaurant, if you're a bar, if you're a brewery, whatever, you could be anything else either.
Especially if you're a brewery.
Yeah.
We'll swing by, we'll test out your beer, and we'll make sure, because I when we do these things, I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I actually do use the SeatGeek app. I actually have it. I've made a purchase with it. That makes it all kind of cool. I want to be legit here. I'm not just some shill, but everybody knows we got to make that money, but I'm something I believe in. So yeah, if you have beer that you want us to sell, I got it. I'll sell it for you. No problem, man. We Celtics fans, we like our beer.
I think everybody does, man.
Yeah. You listening, Sam Adams? Damn it. Answer my emails. Answer my texts. I'm going to go knock on that brewery door in a minute. Jaylen Brown cannot drink Sam Adams or any other beer because he's only 19 years old. But we're already talking about him playing multiple positions today, day two of practice. It's already been asked, can he play the four? And we've talked about it. We've talked about the buzzword, the Celtics buzz phrase, positional versatility. And he has it. But speaking of Jay Crowder, let's pump the brakes a little bit, according to Jay Crowder. Guys were asked if Jaylen could play the four, and Brad Stevens is like, yeah, sure, he could. And Jay Crowder's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up here, man. Let's let him work on the three here first before we start getting him playing fours in this league.
And Stevens actually said something similar, which is you don't want to overload him with too much too early. And obviously he's going to be a guy at some point who can play the two, the three, the four. I just don't know what his best position will be. And I think he'll have more opportunity at the three on the current Celtics team because after Crowder, they don't really have much size. Like Gerald Green, he could probably play a little three. He's more of a two. Marcus Smart can guard threes, but he's a one or two. So there's a lot of more opportunity at the three rather than the four where there's Jarebko, Olynyk, Johnson, Crowder when he slides over. So yeah. I think he'll play a lot more three as a rookie. And the four is tough. It's tougher because you got to rebound and you got to do the dirty work and you got to guard bigger, more established, older guys. And it takes a lot of tricks to be able to do that. Even if you're as athletic as Brown is with the wingspan that he has and the strength that he has, it's tough.
Yeah.
So I was curious to hear the answers to that and whether they're going to try him at four. And I obviously they'll try him, but I'd be surprised if he plays much four as a rookie.
Yeah. I think it's more guarding fours. Maybe when other teams go small, that might be an opportunity for them to throw Jaylen in as a four to counter another small lineup because he's strong. He's got power against a smaller four or a three who slides over. When other teams do it, then that might be a chance to get a young, athletic, strong kid out there like him to go guard that other guy, but not give up too much body weight, not go out there against a LaMarcus Aldridge where, you know, you're completely outclassed. But if
he does play four, those are the guys who are going to be guarding him. And he's going to be more athletic than most threes. When he's against fours, whenever he gets to that point, he is going to have a major, major athleticism advantage. That first step is lightning. And if you can play Brown and Crowder together at the three and four, there's going to be a mismatch somewhere. And now that Crowder's the best three-point shooter in NBA history, that'll make him really tough to guard. So I'm excited for that pairing at some point. I just don't know when and how much it'll be unleashed.
Yeah, I don't think that we'll see that much this year. Again, I think it depends on the matchups. Maybe someday you'll get to throw him out there against some other fours, go small, dictate the matchup, but he's not ready yet. You're talking about when that position, now not only are you just, you can say he's rebounding, but it's about boxing out. It's about reading angles. It's about getting good position. It's about playing a little more back to the basket from time to time. I don't think he's quite ready to do that stuff yet. He's still learning all the other stuff. So I think eventually that scenario you just put out there would be great. I think this year they've got a pretty good lineup. minus, you know, if there's any injuries, obviously this changes things. But once Olynyk is ready to go, and you've got Olynyk, Horford, Amir, Jerebko, and then Tyler Zeller just kind of waiting. Tyler Zeller, by the way, looking to expand his three-point ability, or get some three-point ability, was shooting some threes in practice today.
He did that a little bit last year, too, so don't get alarmed. He was asked at the golf tournament whether he was going to add threes, and he kind of laughed and said, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody should be shooting threes. You should be out there shooting threes just in case.
I will be, man, tomorrow night, men's league.
That's really not really asking much. That's like asking you to breathe or eat tacos. It's just instinctive. But Jaylen Brown is, in this scenario, and I think this is a good scenario for him, four only when the matchups are right and you're trying to counter another team's small lineup. I like it in that situation. Three, mostly, so he can learn that position. I think it's a better position for him defensively. He can use his athleticism. He's not so worried about getting in there and mixing up for the rebounds. He just play the wing, play passing lanes, learn the rotations, kind of ease his way into it a little bit, rely on his athleticism to get by on a lot of it, and then just go from there. And like you said, look, Jay is going to get plenty of minutes at the three. They're going to slide some Gerald. They're going to slide some Marcus Smart in small lineups. So Jalen's going to get some minutes, but it's not going to be an overload. So I kind of like that scenario. It's good. And if for some reason his progression is faster than we thought, then maybe you can start mixing things in a little bit later. So it's easy. Nice and easy, folks. 2 days of practice. 2 days of practice.
It's prime overreaction season.
Of course. Also, why not overreact to James Young? Because James Young's out there saying he's all confident, and Jay Crowder's out there talking like, hey, James Young is aggressive, and I haven't seen this level of aggression the past couple of years, and or any aggression over the past couple of years. And now he is aggressive. And so James Young made the comments today that he just feels more comfortable with everything, more comfortable with the offense, the defense, the signals. And he's just got a lot more confidence, and he's just out there playing his game.
I've been hearing this for a long time, man. It's
too little, too late.
From the time his rookie year ended, when he had the hype train going, he put on 20 pounds, came back to summer league. Nope, still didn't have it. Went through the year this year, came back, still didn't have it at summer league. The last impression I have of James Young is when he was benched during one of their last summer league games this year.
Yeah.
A third-year pro was benched in summer league. So I'll believe this aggression, and I'll believe this new James Young, and I'll believe all this stuff when I see it. I can believe that Crowder is a little better shooter. I'm not sure I'm ready to buy into the James Young stuff yet. That's a little too much. He's likely to get released from the team before the end of the preseason. And
I agree. I think it's hilarious that each year he's adding a ton of weight. Now he's up to 230 pounds. 15. This says 15 more than last season. Okay. And then he's added what? 15 pounds the year before that and 20 pounds. Would he come into the league 160 pounds? Like, was he that light?
He should be like 300 right
now. At this point, with all the weight that he's supposedly adding, yeah, he's going to be like, you know, Karl Malone out there. Yeah, but he looks exactly
James
the same.
Young, the mailman.
So
he does look exactly the same. So
the international mailman, because he's going to be playing in China this year.
He's got to play well if he is going to beat out RJ Hunter or whoever else for that final spot. And that's it. He's going to have to force his way onto the team, because I think it's pretty clear after last year and after summer league that he enters this training camp as the last of the 16 guaranteed contracts.
Yes, absolutely. I've been saying all along that he's done. I just thought it was funny that he's out there. They're talking about, like, this is the new Sullinger is thin. This is basically
training camp, man. Every training camp, everyone is excited. Everyone's aggressive. Everyone's in great shape. Damn it, tell me the truth, guys. Tell me the truth. Tell me that some of these guys just still aren't good at basketball.
We'll see when they start playing. All right. So we haven't seen a lot. Everybody's optimistic. We have a couple of funny stories. Let's go with Horford first, because it's just an interesting little tidbit. This is not more of an interesting anecdote, but I thought it was funny that Al Horford's getting married in the Dominican Republic. His limo bails on him. So what does he do? He calls David Ortiz, who lends him his Rolls Royce, Speedster, Spider, something or other, this crazy fancy Rolls Royce, which...
Yeah, I got to get better friends, man.
And really?
I got to find a wife, too, someone to marry, so that I can have an awesome friend who will loan me his Rolls Royce.
I think you're more likely to have a friend with the Rolls Royce first.
Very true.
That was too easy. That was too easy. That was too easy. That was a little alley-oop. But it's just hilarious that, you know, oh, yeah, let me just call Big Poppy. Oh, you got a Rolls Royce for me? Yeah, sure. Keep it for the weekend. No problem. Just wash it. Return it. We're good.
Yeah. Boston superstar athletes, man. They stay together.
I've said it before on this show, I love the way these guys stick together. On the Bruins are going to Patriots games. Patriots are going to Celtics games. Celtics are going to Sox games. Everybody's just hanging out. It's great. Everybody loves each other.
I think that was before Horford even signed with the Celtics. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got the Dominican connection going.
They do. But I just love the intermingling, and now it's going to be even closer. And I like the stuff that came out that Bill Belichick, who can win with me at quarterback, is picking.
I don't think he could. That's crossing the line. He could definitely win with me at quarterback, though. I was a three-time Turkey Bowl MVP of my friend's like touch football game at Thanksgiving.
I've got the field vision. Tall. Got a rocket for an arm. I'm in there. I can run a little bit. I'm faster than Tom Brady, at least a little bit.
I'm not convinced about that either.
Oh, man. You're hurting my feelings. Dude, everybody's faster than Tom Brady.
I don't think I'd beat him in a foot race.
I've got speed. Deceptive speed. But I just love that Bill Belichick is picking Brad Stevens' brain. You know, they've gotten together a couple of times, and he's talking to Brad like, you know, how do you integrate these young guys, and speaking glowingly of Stevens. And it's just, I just love the way they all kind of intermingle and talk to each other and get tips. And yeah, it's awesome. It's fun.
It's always funny when people ask Stevens about like an awesome coach who said really positive remarks about Stevens. Because he kind of blushes a little bit, and it's like that's as uncomfortable as he gets. That guy is always in control of the room, never, ever, ever, ever gets out of character. And then if you ask him about like Bill Belichick or Greg Popovich saying nice things about him, he kind of gets a little uncomfortable. And he's like, well, you know, they're going to say nice things. All coaches say nice things. Self-deprecation all day.
Yep. He will not take the credit. He will not take the credit. Okay. Last funny story before we wrap up the show. This comes from Isaiah Thomas. If you haven't seen it, Jay's got a nice write-up on masslive.com, but I'll read the money quote and I will say it verbatim. Just a fair warning. There's some language that maybe some people might not like, maybe some non-PC language, but this is a quote from Kevin Garnett.
Dude, it's the word ass. It's not like you're throwing out some wild stuff.
I was referring to the word midget, which is not very politically correct.
There we go.
At this point. But I'm going to read the quote specifically because this is Kevin Garnett and this is not an endorsement. This is just a KG quote. So Isaiah Thomas was telling the story on Toucher and Rich this morning, Wednesday morning. We're recording on Wednesday. He's playing for the Sacramento Kings and he says, here's Isaiah's quote. I think he set an illegal screen. You know, his screens were very illegal. And I yelled, like, stop setting them illegal screens. And he said, shut your little midget ass up. So ever since then, he's been calling me little midget, but with other different words. So
I love
that's just...
I need like a Kevin Garnett story. You know those calendars you can get with like the word of the day? I need the Kevin Garnett story of the day. Like, just give me... one Kevin Garnett story every morning and my life would be a lot better.
It's great. I'm curious as to how much of this Kevin Garnett actually remembers saying. Because I swear that before every game, he was
blackout.
He just he gets into this zone like Will Ferrell in Old School during the debate scene, where he just snaps into place and he's awesome and he has this awesome performance. And then afterwards, he like snaps and shakes his head. He's like, "What happened? Oh, okay, gee, you had 28, 10, and 5 blocks. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, you also cursed 3 people out and yelled at a mom on the sidelines. Like, I mean,
three would have been a very, very
and you hit
nice
Channing
day.
Frye in the nuts. Oh, I did? No, geez, I didn't realize that. Like that."
I just need more KG, man. I'm still sad he retired. Even though he didn't really play at all last year, he was still around. He was still making more stories for me.
Right.
I need him in a place where he can make me more stories. That's it.
That's you selfish.
I could just have him screaming at people all day.
I would love it.
Just give him a GoPro and have him watch a basketball game.
That would be amazing. A GoPro around KG's forehead, and you just see like arms and hands like flying out, gesticulating as he's like yelling and screaming. You know, I always said, and we've probably talked about this on the show. I know I've talked about it on other shows. There's somebody somewhere, and having worked all these years in television, I know that this is true. Somebody somewhere at NBA Entertainment, somewhere on some desktop in Secaucus, New Jersey, is a file that is all of KG's greatest hits that cannot be aired at all. Just all of the crazy things, the crazy swearing, all of that stuff compiled that some editors have just put together and will watch on their own. I guarantee you that exists. That no self-respecting employee with access to those types of things wouldn't save that kind of stuff.
I'll donate my mother, father, and firstborn child to get that, to be in possession of that.
Wow. I will also donate your mother and father.
I know my dad listens to this too. He's going to hear that, but sorry, Pops.
He'll think it's a fair trade.
He'll probably agree with me.
Yeah.
He would definitely give me up. He'd give me up for a lot less than that.
That exists. I know that exists. And all I want to do is see it. I wouldn't even talk about it. I wouldn't put it on the podcast. I would just, if somebody's out there and you hear it and you know that this exists and I can have access to this, I will go. I will travel to Secaucus, New Jersey. I will get a hazmat suit. I will get my Zika protection gear and all of my, you know, whatever, but I will go to Secaucus, New Jersey just to watch this stuff. You don't go to New Jersey without any sort of...
That's messed up, man. I didn't even realize that was a New Jersey joke. It took me a couple beats, but...
Sorry. People from New Jersey are great.
You got some New Jersey listeners, I bet, man. And people from Jersey, you know what those listeners should do? They should go
agree with
us.
Me.
They should go find us on iTunes. Search for Locked On Celtics or Stitcher, Audio Boom, whatever else. Give us a 5-star rating. And that's about it.
I agree. That's what they should do. That sounds like a great place to wrap up the show. That's Jay's way of saying he's got to go. And I'm going to go too. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast brought to you tonight by SeatGeek. Remember, download that. Put in LO Celtics as the promo code. Get $20 back off of your first ticket purchase. Be sure to listen to us every day here in the Locked On Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.